4. We're going to look at this whole chapter tonight, but we want to start out with verses 1 to verse 4 of Psalms 34. Verse 1 to verse 4 of Psalm 34. And I'll just read that for us. You can follow along as we look in the Bible here. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my, what's the last word? Fears. If you have titles in your Bible on this particular chapter in Psalm, the title is this, the Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. He went to the Philistine nations to try and hide out and get away from Saul. Man, if you were that desperate, he went to the enemies. And he had all kinds of those that are after his life. And yet God brought this particular thought to his heart in regards to the fears he was dealing with at the time. Some recent hospital visits, as I mentioned this morning, Clyde Harris has been there now for 2 weeks. And he's been a very important part of Grace Baptist Church. Many of you don't even know who he is. But when we first started, we wouldn't have a Wednesday night meeting if it wasn't for Clyde and Joan Harris. They opened up their home. We had Bible study and prayer at their house for several years, and then we were able to move into this building. But they did all the things that were needed at our church. Nursery, taught Sunday school, deacon, treasurer, I think, secretary. I mean, you name it. If I said, hey, we need you, okay, you know. Praise the Lord for their service. But that brought some thoughts to my mind as we were going through the week here. And by the way, do pray for him. He's been unable to really communicate until the last couple of days. They took some medications out of his regimen, and now his mind is at least able to talk. He still may not know what he's saying, but he's able to talk, and hopefully in the next day or two be moved to a rehab place. But God delivers us from fears. As I was watching him there in the bed, his daughter and some other family members were there too, and I can imagine, though they, you know, they were there to be supportive and all that, in the back of their mind they might wonder, is this the last few days we have? Yeah. You know, or however much time, is this the way it's going to be? We're not going to be able to really get to Dad the way we usually do. I don't know what kind of fears might have been on their minds. But we can have fear. We can have fear hidden, fear about things that are hidden, that only, speaking of medical things, that only medical equipment can reveal. We can fear people and how their statements or actions may injure us or others. We can fear the future, anticipating the worst case scenario. Does that bring any thoughts to mind about this week? I don't know. Why do we have fears? Because it's human. It's human to fear. I don't think we should doubt, deny that there are fears there, but change them into the kind of the fear that God says it can be honoring to me. All through Scripture it says, fear the Lord, fear God, honor him, etc. And that kind of fear is not a terrifying fear. It is an honoring fear. It is a lifting up kind of fear that he's God and there is no others. But God answers every fear. Notice verse 4 again, if you would, with me. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from how many of his fears? All of them. How many would like to be delivered from all your fears? Yes. Wow, all is a lot. For some of us, it's a lot. For some, maybe not so many. But there are some that we're asking God to be busy about, do something about. Here are God's unchanging truths in times of fear. As we look through Psalm 34, we're going to look at six things. Wait a minute, I got a page here. Six things that the Scripture here in this chapter can share with us, truths about God's unchanging, ability to meet and answer our fears. So I'd like to share that with you tonight. If you're taking notes, God's unchanging truth in times of fear. Let's go ahead and ask God to help us before we go any further. Would you bow with me as I pray? Father, we do have fears. You know that. Some of them are legitimate in the sense of we know there's some things that have to happen in order for the right things to come through. But Lord, we want you to change that, please. Would you change our fear into trust? Would you change our anxiety, the things that we anticipate could be totally chaos, into simply looking to your hand, as the Word of God encourages us to do? As we look at these truths in the Bible, Father, would you use them even tonight to give us your peace, to give us a calmness that maybe we didn't have when we walked in the doors? May you get the glory for all things. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one. Take a look here. Verse number one. Verse number one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Number one, here's the first truth. God is worthy of praise on any day. God is worthy of praise on any day. Hey, praise the Lord, on Sunday we get to hear great music. Wasn't that a great special tonight? And the music this morning was a blessing. All that is helpful, and we can sing together. And it just it lifts up our spirits. We can honor the Lord as we look in Scripture together, as we sometimes share it together, verbally reading it together. But you know, tomorrow God deserves praise too. And Tuesday and every other day. And he is worthy of that on any day. Notice verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof. And what? Be glad. See, you can affect others that maybe don't have or sense or understand just how great God is. Just how great the Lord is as we share about him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, verse 3. And let us exalt his name together. Every situation in sickness and in health is an opportunity to magnify the name of the Lord. And as I mentioned, this was on my mind, the hospital bed even can make for a pretty good pulpit if we can honor and praise the Lord even from there. Now, if you've had hospital staff that appreciate that and you've been in the hospital or someplace like that where you talk about the Lord and they're grateful, that feels good, doesn't it? But if you don't worry about the feelings because God is still God. God is still God, even if the rest of the world denies that he can do anything for anybody. Let's magnify his name all the time. He's worthy of praise any day. Number two, again, let's go to verse number four. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So skip down, if you would, to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Truth number two, God hears his children as they call upon him. God hears his children as they call upon him. Have you ever been to the playground? Now, maybe not so much as today, but years ago, kids used to go to the playground. How many remember those days? And I remember going, my mom would be there sometimes, and it seems to me that every now and then, some kid would cry at the playground. How many know what I'm talking about? Doesn't matter what happened, doesn't matter who did what, but there's going to be a kid who cries out to the playground. And let's say we're at the playground and here's a kid, you know, one of 10 or 15 kids crying out. Which mother do you think will come to the help of that little kid? Not my mom, not your mom, but the mother of that child. Because why? Because that mother knows the voice and the sound of their child. If you know Christ as your Savior tonight, let me tell you something. God knows your voice. Right. He knows when you're excited about something and want to give him glory. He knows when you're hurting about something and needs his help. He knows when everything's fine from the tone of your voice as well. But one thing he desires is to hear your voice regularly. That means calling upon him. Notice verse 15 again. His ears are open unto their cry. God hears his children as they call upon him. Our Heavenly Father is in the delivery business. He is ever listening for our cry out in prayer. The need for God's redeeming hand seems great in times of injury and illness. Sometimes we don't understand just how much God can do until we're put through the valley of the shadow of death, till we're walking on, you know, some places and some things that in some areas that we don't know what's going to happen. And yet God does. He has all the answers. He says, cry out to me. Let me ask you, have you prayed today? Have you asked God for things or honored him today in prayer? I'm not talking about rub-a-dub-dub thanks for the grub. We're talking about something meaningful and bringing before God today. He hears his children as they call upon him. Number three, verse number 8, let's go there. Would you read with me verse 8, 9, and 10? Let's read those together, shall we? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I like that phrase at the end of that verse, verse 10. They that seek the Lord shall not want any, what's the next word? Good thing, because God provides. Here's the truth. God is ever good when things aren't good. God is ever good when things, talking about circumstances, talking about, you know, how the operation of things may go around us. God is ever good when things aren't good. He says, there is no want to them that fear him, verse 9. And as he mentions there, we talked about it, verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God always provides, when he provides, he provides goodness. He provides things that are good. The Lord delights in us experiencing his goodness. His supply is ever available. It seems, however, that we don't see his supply until we actually seek him and glorify him. If you try to take care of things on your own, will you see the supply of God as much as he wants to give you? If you go and say, well, Lord, I got this all worked out. I put it on paper and we've got the 5-year plan and we're working it. Will you see the supply of the Lord as much as if you said, Lord, we've got our plans, but we want our plans to line up with you. If everything has to change, would you show us where to start? If things have to change, would you show us where to start? Step one. Step two. You know what the Bible calls Christians? It calls Christians sheep. And you've heard this before. It calls sheep, calls us sheep because sheep are what? They're not smart. They follow and they wander. And without the shepherd, their lives are in danger all the time. God says he wants you and I to look to him all the time. And he says, my supply is good. Would you please look to me? Isn't it interesting that God pleads with us to look to him for supply? Yes. Instead of when we need to be doing the other way around. God is ever good when things aren't good. Number four. Let's go to verse 11 here. Verse 11. Reading down to verse 16. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Look down at verse 21, please. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Some of these words, some of these phrases you've seen not only in the Old Testament here, but in the New Testament, such as where he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Who does the Apostle Peter describe as someone like that? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Who was that? That was Jesus. These are all things that God says, I would like to see in you. Here's the truth. Number four, God is worthy to be reverenced. God is worthy to be reverenced or honored, if you want to put it that way, but to revere him in such a way that our very actions and behavior fall in line with what he says. I read of this story. This is not a personal story, by the way. A father and son were driving down a country road and saw a watermelon patch a little off the highway. Obviously, that was not in November. The father said to the boy, keep a lookout here while I go get a melon. And dad snuck into the patch. He lifted a melon from the vine, and then he called to his son, is anyone coming? Just look both ways now. And the little boy responded, Dad, shouldn't we look up instead of out? God is worthy to be reverenced because, you know, his eyes, the Bible says, are to and fro along the earth. He sees it all. He sees what goes on, not just what we do, but what's going on in here, the heart. Waiting for health and safety to return is a perfect time for examining the soul. I like times when we have the Lord's Supper, don't you? It brings us back. It calls us back to a moment with Jesus when he was in that room with his disciples. We know what's going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen. You know, why it was such a surprise to the disciples that Jesus was going to be crucified is still beyond me, other than God just did not allow them to see it through until it happened. But in that room, Jesus called on them to remember him, to remember him. And part of that as the church, as we looked in 1 Corinthians 11, when we remember him, that calls on us to examine ourselves too. That it's not about us. This is not about what we desire or do. It's about Jesus. Is my life in step with the Lord Jesus? Are there righteous things to bear? Or are there evil things to shed that will bring God delight and me joy? James 5 and verse 15 says this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be what? Forgiven him. What's the prayer of faith include? It includes confessing sin. Yeah, it includes saying, Lord, here's what is wrong in my life. Would you take it and forgive me based on the blood of Christ and what he has done? God is worthy to be reverenced. All right, so number one, God is worthy to praise any day. Number two, God hears his children as they call upon him. Number three, God is ever good when things aren't good. God is worthy to be reverenced. Number four, number five, take a look here, verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Number five, God is compassionate, so we should be as well. God is compassionate, so we should be as well. Remember in the New Testament, as well as the Old, God told his people, be ye holy, how? As I am holy, he said. And Jesus over and over again says, follow me, do the things I do. Be compassionate. Notice the things that he's compassionate about. He heareth the righteous's cry. He delivers them out of trouble. He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Can I share with you sometimes that God, certainly God can do that for us personally, but some ways he does that is through other people. How many have had a word or a phrase from somebody else that lifted up their day that day? Man, you heard them share this or they prayed for you or whatever it was, something compassionate. And man, God just lifted your spirits when you heard that. God displays his compassion in his faithfulness, his grace, and his promises, but he also displays it through his people. One of the greatest blessings in reaching out to those who are hurting, and in some cases in physically hurting, is having the presence of Christian friends around. They may not say much, but the Christ-like care can be a comfort to them. How should we care for one another? Matthew chapter 25. This is a future event. And yet it gives us the character of the Lord Jesus and how he responds as we honor him. Matthew chapter 25. Again, this speaks of the character of God as we look at it in this way and how he wants to use you and me. Matthew 25. Let's start in verse 34, reading down to verse 40. Let's read responsively if we could. I'll read verse 34, you read 35, back and forth. Verse 40, that's where we stop. I'll read verse number 34 of Matthew 25. Here's what the Bible says. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me.
Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when you saw me thee an hungered, fed me, or thirsty, and gave thee drink?
When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, who? My brethren, ye have done it unto me. Go back to James chapter 5, if you would. We read one verse there earlier. We'll look at it again, as well as the one right before it. James chapter 5. And looking at verse 14 and verse 15. Oops, I'm in Peter. Here we go. I was wondering there why there wasn't no verse 14. All right, here we are. James chapter 5. Verse 14, and then we'll read verse 15 again. Let's read those together if we could, please. James chapter 5. Let's read them out loud. Verse 14 and 15. Let's begin. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You see the understanding here as we look in God, at God's character in Psalm 34 of compassion. That is what Jesus wants us to be as well. That's what Jesus wants us to be. If we were to continue to read in Matthew 24, we would find out those that did not help those that were in need. And it's not because they necessarily didn't want to, they just did nothing about it. It's not that they had a harsh feelings against the stranger or the sick or the ones in prison. They just did nothing about it. And they were condemned for that. God says he wants you and I to have a compassion like he does. Now let me ask you, is that easy to love like God loves? No, it's not easy. That's why you can't do it in your own strength. Thankfully, Jesus gave you somebody to give you the power and the ability to do it. Who is it? He's with you all the time. The Holy Spirit. But that begins at the beginning of the day in saying, whatever you want me to do, lead me and I'll follow. I surrender to you. I love that song, I Surrender All. And God wants us to be that compassion and caring person that honors him even in the midst of difficult days. God is compassionate. We should be too. Number six, last one. Let's go back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And let me just give a final, another thought on that last point, when compassionate. Have you ever been tried to be compassionate to somebody and they didn't seem to like it? They weren't happy with what you had in mind. Not that you were trying to do something wrong, but it just didn't seem to matter to them at all. Well, we don't always know what's going to honor the Lord. God simply says, honor me. If you're trying to get a response out of everybody, then who are you trying to honor? You're honoring you. God says, I want you to honor me. Just do what's right, and I'll take care of the results. Number six, where it's in the last verse there, verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Redeem the soul. God is our redeemer into eternity. That's the sixth truth tonight in regards to the fears that God answers. God is our redeemer into eternity. Salvation in Christ is the best answer we have for fear. Well, what's going to happen on Tuesday? I don't know, but I'm still saved. What's going to happen with the car? Man, how are we going to replace? I don't know, but I'm still saved. Well, what's going to happen with this and that? I don't know, but I'm still saved because God redeemed my soul. Philippians chapter 1, let's go there. Whatever the conditions in this life, we have a perfect eternal home to look forward to. Eternity with God is the most comforting truth that we can have on this world. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20, verse 21. Would you read those with me? Philippians chapter 1, and let's read verse 20 and 21. All right, here we go. So verse 20 and 21, let's read those together, shall we? According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Bible says that's our eternal hope. In nothing shall I be. This is my expectation, Paul said. I know it's coming. And it's my hope. I'm not hoping in anything else. I'm not hoping that the Roman government will let me go. I'm not hoping that everything else will fall into place. But I am hoping to see Jesus face to face someday. And his one prayer and hope was, and final hope after leaving this world, is that whether by life or by death, he says, that Jesus Christ would be magnified in his body, that somehow others would see Jesus in his body. Let me ask you tonight, do you have fears? Are there things coming up on the calendar that you're like, wow, I don't know how that's all going to work out? God has answers for those fears.
Yes, he does.
And they are unchanging. If they're in Scripture, they don't change. Amen.
Right.
Even here we are. Psalms were written, you know, different parts of Psalms were written 4,000, 6,000 years ago, some say. But the Bible is clear that God is still who he is.
That's right.
And we can rely on him. Will you turn to him and seek his deliverance from all your fears? He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Heavenly Father, thank you that that's the kind of God you are. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to examine ourselves. We're not in the hospital tonight. We're able and strong enough to be at church tonight. Maybe we have a few aches and pains, but God, we're in better shape than a lot. And yet there can still be fears. Well, Father, I pray even tonight we would lay those before your altar, because they're eating us up. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that those of us that have things on our heart and mind that we've kept back from you, instead we're trying to figure out ourselves. Lord, I pray tonight would be the night we turn those over to you. Because you said, it's in black and white right here, you can deliver us from all our fears. Perhaps there's one who needs Jesus as Savior. Oh, Father, I pray they understand the fear we need to have of hell, the lake of fire, of separation from you, even in this life. Oh God, I pray that they see that and see that the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ is enough to pay the price that they deserve, that they can be saved even tonight. We pray for your help tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, please. I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing in just a bit. When she begins to play, maybe God's spoken to you. Now's the time. Take a moment and respond to what God says, give me your fears. Try me and see if I can be a help to you. You've tried everything else. How about try me? Perhaps that's what God's reaching out to. And if you need the Lord as Savior, we've got the Word of God. Love to talk to you about that. As she begins to play, would you respond tonight? Lord, here's my fears. I give them to you. Would you deliver? Would you deliver me?